Something wicked is coming this way, and only fools are ignoring the signs. So it's time you became a financial prepper like thousands of others. Gold can travel anywhere. It's international. It's its own currency. Allocate to gold now, the timeless safe haven asset. Open an IRA with Noble Gold Investments to physically hold coins and bars, and let real, tangible gold, not just paper, save your portfolio as the economy burns again. Right now, Noble Gold Investments offers a free 3-ounce silver American Virtue coin with every qualified IRA. Just use the promo code GOLD to claim your free coin and secure your family's financial future. Go to NobleGoldInvestments.com now. NobleGoldInvestments.com.
Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals, including gold, involves risks. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
RPN is not responsible for the views, actions, statements, or opinions of its guests, advertisers, or even its viewers. The information contained in this program is not to be confused with medical or legal advice. An appearance on this platform is not necessarily an endorsement, but as always, we encourage you to do your own research. Enjoy the show. Good evening, everyone, and welcome back to another exciting episode of Red Pill News Live. As always, my name is Zach Payne, the Corruption Detector. I hope you guys are having a lovely day. Thank you very much for hanging out. If you haven't yet, please consider hitting the like button. It's free, and it really does help out the channel. It lets other people on Rumble know that this is a good program. If you're over there unpilled, you would do the same thing by hitting the red pill. Both of these will help me get this show out to more eyes. Free 6 days a week. The only thing I ask is that you help me by getting the message out. We've got so much to talk about. Boeing is not doing so hot. Some unforeseen consequences, rather, after that second whistleblower lost his life. And we have a lot of updates on a number of things related to President Trump and the cases, the lawfare looking to take him down before he can come back. So thank you, thank you, thank you. I sincerely appreciate it. If you wouldn't mind, just sit back, relax, grab your popcorn, and we're going to be right back after this. You guys, I can't tell you how often I get DMs and emails from people who watch the show who want to know, where can we get these medications that you've talked about on the program? Where is the best place for affordable and quality meds? Well, I want to tell you about a brand new sponsor of the show, QuickRxStore.com. Now, QuickRxStore.com is perfect because they offer a vast array of affordable and generic medications. Stuff that may be difficult to get from a normie doctor, like ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine, even fenbendazole, which we've talked about on a number of occasions. And they also have most anything else that you might need. Stuff like azithromycin. I mean, you name it, it'll probably be on there. There are tons of life-saving generic medications on this website. And since the meds are generic, that means that on average, customers might save up to 70% off compared to brand name meds. And what's even better is QuickRxStore.com has a special offer for viewers of the channel. You can save 10% off at checkout when you use the special code SAVE10. And QuickRxStore.com is going to take care of you quickly with swift express shipping. They also make sure your medications reach you quickly and discreetly. You see, they designed the packages with your privacy in mind. And if you have any problems, they have a dedicated customer support team that you can reach out to very easily. QuickRxStore.com focuses on one very important thing, and that is the health and well-being of their customers. And how do they do that? By making sure you have easy access to premium quality medications. So visit QuickRxStore.com today and put your mind at ease. You can click the link in the description of this video. Most importantly, do not forget to use that coupon code 10% off at checkout when you use the code SAVE10. That's QuickRxStore.com, your trusted source for affordable generic medications. So shop now and save big at QuickRxStore.com. And when you support my sponsors, you support this channel. All right, my friends, thank you very much for being here. Sorry, I'm just a little bit tired. My voice might be a little bit froggy. Me and the girls went to Universal Studios Islands of Adventure yesterday. It's a roller coaster park. I had never been there before, but since my daughter's here on vacation, that's where she said she wanted to go, and I obliged. And we had a really great time. It was a lot of fun. We spent many hours out in the hot sun, and there was a lot of screaming as we were going up and down those roller coasters. Not a Luster says, look at me catching Mr. Red Pill 78 live again. Be a true patriot and hit that like button. That's right. If you don't hit that like button, then you ain't black, or maybe you're going to vote for Joe Biden. Who knows? Whichever one it might be. But somebody else had mentioned, isn't it funny how every single show, two people who just do not like the show show up simply to hit that thumbs down. I think it's hilarious, and the joke's on them because it still counts as a view, and it'll still show up in the numbers when the final tallies are out. But even if they don't like the show, it still counts as an interaction, which is something that I think Rumble does pay attention to. I don't know that it's like the same way that YouTube paid attention to it, but YouTube definitely measured like your overall audience engagement. I think pretty much all social media platforms do it, but no matter whether you're here because you like me or you hate me, thank you either way for showing up. Because if you do like me, then I think you're going to find that there is a whole lot of interesting things for us to talk about. And even if you don't like me, well, maybe you'll find that you change your mind on that one. So as I said, interesting developments in the world surrounding Boeing and the whistleblowers who recently passed away, and a lot of big developments in President Trump's various cases. There was some news that came out this weekend. On Saturday, you may or may not have seen that the guest that was scheduled neglected to show. Yes, he confirmed on multiple occasions. And then on the day of, radio silence. I don't know what happened to him. I don't know where he is. I haven't seen him post anything, and he certainly hasn't responded to my DMs. So I'm just going to continue to pray for him and wish him the best. And if he gets a hold of me, then he may be coming on again sometime in the future. But even if he doesn't, I don't have any shortage of guests who do want to come on the show and have conversations with me. I'm currently scheduling into July right now. So I'm several months out, and pretty soon I'm going to have to start thinking about what I'm going to be doing right around the time of the election, because I know that there's going to be a bunch of people that I really do support in a big way that I want to make sure do get some FaceTime on the show. You guys, I also put together an endorsement video for my buddy Nate Kane. Nate was on the show on Friday. And I was going to play it for you because I wanted to make sure you guys saw it. And I don't normally ask you to like share individual tweets or posts or anything like that. But if you would be so kind as to share this particular one, because I want to make sure as many people as possible are aware of Nate and what he's going to do once he gets to Congress. So let me pull this up here for you and we'll watch it together. And hopefully you guys, this resonates with you in the way that Nate as a friend and as an American patriot resonates with me. Here we go.
From Red Pill News on Red Pill 78, and I have a special message to the people of West Virginia, and even more importantly to the people of West Virginia's 2nd Congressional District. This is a crowded race, and everybody is going to tell you that they're an America First candidate, but let me be very clear here. There is only one truly proven America First candidate, because there's only one candidate who actually stood up to the deep state. There's only one candidate who was the Uranium One whistleblower. There is only one candidate who endured years of the same type of tactics we're seeing be used right now against Donald Trump. And I think you know who that candidate is. He is my personal friend, Nate Kane. He's a cybersecurity professional. He's an American patriot. And he's got years of proven leadership. And I know this for sure. He absolutely loves the state of West Virginia. And he wants nothing more than to be elected, not for his own gratification or his own ego, but so he can go to Washington and he can stand for you and put America first. In the primary, in just a couple of weeks, we need to make sure that Nate Kane is the candidate that moves on to the general election so that you can help elect him and put him where he needs to be to not only stand up against the deep state, but to stand up to all the ineffectual rhinos that clog up Congress, and even more importantly, to the Democrats who want to turn us into a socialist nation. So when you walk into that voting booth, make sure you vote Nate Kane, because your state and our nation depends on it. I fully endorse Nate Kane for West Virginia's 2nd Congressional District.
All right. So hopefully that is making it clear how I feel about Nate. And it's so funny how people will pop in and talk some bullshit. Lou, you know, that's not something that I feel needs to control the tenor and tone of this show. So we'll go ahead and mute you for the rest of the live stream because I don't need to see your bullshit in the chat. You know, this is so funny to me. People will come into the chat and they will call those who are actively calling out the real crimes of the criminal government that has been working to destroy this nation and to depose and distract Donald Trump, who is the guy who is going to come back and control the tone and tenor of the next administration and help the American people galvanize around the creation of a more successful, no longer failed and corrupt system. And they spend so much time talking shit in the chat about what other people aren't doing, when all I see is them bitching and moaning and absolutely having no measurable impact. You know, what we're doing here is we're waking up a nation. We are galvanizing people. And just because somebody is just watching the show doesn't mean that they're not out there working in their own communities. Because I know, I hear from you guys. You tell me what you're doing. And I am constantly, constantly egging you on, trying to get you to go out there in the real world and to be an activist for your community, an activist for your nation, an activist for future generations, because that truly is the way that we're going to save this country. Now, one of the biggest, I would say, impediments to the American people being able to have the will and the knowledge to take on that failed and corrupt establishment has been the presence of the clowns in America, Central Intelligence Agency, Project Mockingbird agents and provocateurs in the mainstream media. And as a result, partially of what we do here and the information that you guys all in the audience help us to get out there as well, it has created what can only be described as a sort of bloodbath in the mainstream media. Instead of paying attention to what talking heads are telling you you should believe, instead of paying attention to the propaganda that's being shoveled down your throats by the clowns in America, you are instead starving them of the precious resources that they need to be able to continue on with their mission. What are those resources? Well, that's your time. That's your money. That is your belief in the false narratives that they spin for you every single day. We have seen over and over again, as the mainstream media companies continue to fail, they are forced to downsize. They're forced to fire those talking heads that you see on television. They are forced to alter their tactics in an effort to try to draw you back in. But we don't trust the mainstream media. We haven't trusted the mainstream media for a very, very long time. Some of you are older than me. Some of you haven't trusted the mainstream media in 40 or 50 years, and that's good for you. But every single person wakes up in their own time. The latest casualty of the mainstream media propaganda failure is the president of ABC News. Her name was Kim Godwin, and after a rocky tenure, she has tendered her resignation in a move that was pretty surprising to a lot of people in the mainstream media and the insiders who were helping to serve up her propaganda and the propaganda of Project Mockingbird. There will undoubtedly be some people who are sad to see her go. Why was she special? Well, in terms of diversity, equity, and inclusion, she was the very first black woman to lead a broadcast television news station and then to leave that position. Now, I'm not going to shed any tears for Kim Godwin. Under Kim Godwin's tenure, ABC News had the exact same sort of modus operandi as all of the other mainstream media outlets. And as fewer and fewer people paid attention, as more and more people lost faith in the mainstream media and understood exactly who they were, what they stood for, and what they were trying to do to you and this nation, Kim Godwin's star began to lose its luster. Now, from what I understand, she was incredibly incompetent. And I'm not saying that she's incompetent because she's a woman or because she was a woman who had more melanin in her skin than other people. Some people just happen to be incompetent despite what's between their legs or what the color of their skin is. Definitely not saying that they're incompetent because of those things, because anyone has the capacity to do their job poorly. Kim just happened to be one of those people. Now, the former staff that were working for Kim Godwin were not very fond of her and the direction that she wanted ABC News to take. President Trump actually posted about her leaving on Truth Social, and he said, "I'm happy to report that Kim Godwin, head of ABC, has resigned. Could it be the unfair reporting on everything Trump? In any event, good riddance. Hopefully, somebody else will be able to control George Slopidopoulos and the rest of the fake news thugs over at ABC. Best wishes, Kim." Couldn't have happened to a nicer gal. President Trump's hypothesis notwithstanding, Kim Godwin has been a controversial figure throughout her tenure at ABC. I guess at CNN, they weren't particularly fond of her, and you have to be pretty shit at your job if CNN even doesn't like you. But apparently she had brought a polarizing leadership style, and as a result, the morale of the company had plummeted quite precipitously. Now, as I said, I don't trust ABC. I haven't trusted ABC in decades. Don't trust any of the mainstream outlets. And I don't even trust all the independent podcasters that are out there. I look at everybody with the same sort of, skeptical eye. Mostly, I don't really watch anybody else except for a couple of key people who I am friends with and we work together, because I don't want to be influenced by what anybody else is saying. I want my work to stand on its own, and I want to be confident in what I believe, and I don't want it to be influenced by somebody else. So apparently more than 24 staffers and other people who were close to Kim, they had requested anonymity because they did not want to be put on record speaking about their distaste for Kim Godwin. They said that she had a crushing effect on morale in the organization that she led. Just want to speculate here, but things have got to be pretty bad if you take over an already demoralized organization and you destroy what is left to an even greater degree. She must have been really, really bad. She apparently had made several profound errors, which included employing a hands-off approach to managing. She'd had no strategic vision for the newsroom. She got rid of the heads of the talent relations division, and she appointed an inner circle, which alienated staffers, among a stream of other complaints. The same sort of typical bad and unprofessional behavior that you would expect in somebody somebody who really is not meant to be working in their job. People like Kim Godwin, they move into a position like this. They feel that they have some sort of moral authority to do whatever it is they want. And then they seek to surround themselves with sycophants. Sycophants, people who are just going to be yes men and tell her whatever it is that she needs to know. And in today's corporate culture that is embroiled just, you know, neck deep in the DEI ethos, people would not be comfortable telling Kim that she was doing anything other than the best job in the world. So she's 60 years old. She has left the entire industry. She's not just retiring and going someplace else. She says, I have decided to retire from broadcast journalism. I have been fortunate and blessed enough to have done almost every job there is in the business, but after considerable reflection, I'm certain it's the right one time for me as I look to prioritize and in the future when what's most important, me and my family. Well, I think it's probably a good idea if she is to retire 100% from broadcast journalism, probably a rat jumping from a sinking ship that she had helped to begin to bring down to the bottom of the ocean. The mainstream media is dying in its entirety, and it's not going to be too long before these mainstream outlets are either going to have to start reporting the truth, and that truth right now is that you've been lied to, that these agencies and these organizations, they have treated you with disrespect. If they fail to do that, then nobody's going to watch them, and they are going to go out of business. Little Joe's passing comes after the St. Louis Zoo's initiative announced back in 2021, where they stated openly they were going to vaccinate animals against COVID-19. They were going to inject them with these experimental mRNA cancer clot shots. Now, they did this because they said that there was a couple of the animals who they thought were of the highest risk of contracting the virus. Here is the original press release. Over the next few months, the zoo plans to administer the two doses of COVID-19 jab in a staged rollout to almost 100 primates. They're going to give it to cats as well. Big cats, river otters, painted dogs, and bat-eared foxes, all of which carry a potential risk of being infected by SARS-CoV-2, the virus that caused COVID-19, allegedly. Now, doses are given 3 weeks apart, and full vaccination is reached 2 weeks after the second dose. My only question is, why didn't they give him a booster? I mean, maybe he wouldn't have died of a heart attack if they would have just kept giving him boosters. I mean, he probably would have just died of a blood clot a long time ago, but that's neither here nor there. Preventative health is what we do here, said the director of animal health at the St. Louis Zoo. We really believe in keeping our animals healthy, not just treating them when they're sick. Vaccines are nothing new for us. As with every vaccine we administer, we first determine risk of exposure. What is the risk of exposure for a gorilla who is not, like, getting coughed on by people or, I mean, this just seems so stupid to me. I mean, animals don't get vaccines out in the real world. They don't do this out in the wild. In fact, they're going to be coming into contact with all kinds of sicknesses, and they either get better or they pass on. I mean, that's that whole survival of the fittest type thing. But as we administer these vaccines, we run the risk of determining the risk of exposure, illness from disease, and potential vaccine side effects. Well, considering the fact that these jabs were not widely tested, and the companies that produced them specifically withheld the relevant information about what those risks were, this was a gamble from the very beginning, and I believe I reported on this at the time, thinking about how stupid it felt to me to inject these animals, these precious animals, with these experimental genetic modification shots, and thinking, oh, how long is it going to be before I have to report on animals at the zoo dying from what appears to be a human illness? So the one that they gave him was the jab from Zoetis. They are a global animal health company, and they donated 11,000 experimental doses to various zoos and animal organizations around the world. They are based in Kalamazoo, Michigan, my former home state, and they have given those vaccine doses over. I'm sure that they want to know exactly what happened to Little Joe and how he progressed up until that point. Very
very, very sad and I think a completely avoidable situation. So although little Joe is gone, rest in peace, Harambe, take him home, we do have some good news coming out of the Milwaukee elections system. You may remember the former, now former director, Claire Woodall Vogue. I've reported on her here on this show in the past because she was part of that network that was implemented in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, to help steal the election back in 2020 and then again in 2022. And now inevitably they want to do it again in 2024. Well, she is no longer the Milwaukee Director of Elections. And it seems that the city of Milwaukee is looking to create a change in their election leadership ahead of the presidential election, as Mayor Cavalier Johnson, who is a Democrat, announced that Claire would be losing her job. That's right. They did fire her. Deputy Director Paulina Gutierrez has been nominated to take Claire's place. She has served as deputy for over a year. Now, they haven't given us a reason as to why they are dismissing Claire Woodall Vogue. And I have to be honest with you, since Paulina Gutierrez has only been there for 1 year, I don't know much about her. So we'll go ahead and look her up in just a moment. But the mayor did say this: Paulina's integrity and capabilities are ideally suited to this position. Now, that could go either way, don't you think? That could mean that Paulina is going to be a much more effective ally in the Democrats and the Rhinos' efforts to cheat President Trump and anybody else who's an America First candidate out of winning that election. However, give them the benefit of the doubt just for a moment. She will lead the office at an important juncture when public scrutiny of the work of the department will be extremely high. I have confidence in her, and I will make certain the department has the resources it needs to fulfill its duties. Now, the one reason I think that there's maybe some sort of net positive here is because Claire, she was a known quantity. You know what I mean? She was a known quantity, and she assisted the machine previously in ensuring that the election results that they wanted to see were handed down. Now, as I have mentioned on so many different occasions, as we move into 2024, Joe Biden has already lost any edge that he had from the previous presidential election. Now, I realize we're talking about tens of thousands of fraudulent votes. But now many of those votes, tens of thousands more, in fact, orders of magnitude more votes, are not going to go to Joe Biden because of what we see happening in the streets and as a result of October 7th and the war between Hamas and Israel. So the events that led to Claire's termination, we can trace it back to the aftermath of the 2020 presidential election. Back on November 3rd, when President Trump addressed the nation, expressing the optimism that he felt after setting new voter turnout records in Michigan, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin, President Trump was leading Joe Biden by 120,000 votes. But wouldn't you know it, in the middle of the night, there was suddenly a whole bunch of suspicious late night ballot dumps. Even though President Trump had the early leads, Joe Biden managed to overcome a 4.1% Trump lead after that sudden influx of mail-in ballots. Now, this graphic is probably one of the best known memes to come out of that 2020 election, because you can see right here the exact moment that all of those ballots for Biden are just injected into the system in a really unnatural way. So, take a look here. Oh, and again, it all came out of Milwaukee, basically. 89% voter turnout, the type of turnout that you do not have represented in a legitimate election. So, we had the same exact distribution in both Michigan and in Wisconsin. You can see right here, we had Joe Biden and Donald Trump with neck and neck, neck and neck.
And then Donald Trump pulls ahead, and then they have Joe Biden pull ahead. Just a tiny bit, back and forth, back and forth. And then Donald Trump really starts to take off. And for the rest of the night, you also, you have like this ratio, which also seems to be just a little bit suspicious, if you ask me. And here we go. All of a sudden, in the middle of the night, right around 4 a.m., boom. You have like 120,000 votes that just get injected into the system. Now, one of the reasons, just in case you guys don't know this, I mean, I'm sure most of you do, but the reason you have this sort of gradual uptick on the graph is because those ballots are not all counted at the exact same time. You have ballot after ballot after ballot that are individually scanned into the system. And as those ballots are counted, you have this sort of gradual distribution. I mean, this is just the way you would expect something like this to look, a proper statistical distribution. But when you have an immediate and sudden burst, straight line going straight up, that means that in that moment, all of those ballots, all of a sudden, just get counted. And every single one of those ballots is for Joe Biden. Now, it is a total impossibility for every single ballot right here in this time to be for Joe Biden. But what that does is that brings Joe Biden just a little bit above Donald Trump. And then finally, at the end, they stop counting, even though a number of counties have not fulfilled their own ballot counts. They just say, well, looks like Joe Biden is the winner. So it's also notable that Claire Woodall-Vogg was on election night exchanging emails talking about, quote, delivering the needed margin, which, of course, seems rather suspect in light of this rapid and continuous influx of votes for Joe Biden that came in the middle of the night. And again, you see virtually the same sort of thing happening over here in Michigan. But it just happened to be that exact margin that was necessary to steal the state from Donald Trump and to deliver a Joe Biden victory. Honey? Okay? Okay, yes. Hold on. Okay, all right, there we go. Okay, so in that same email, there was a number of different messages that were sent, but a man by the name of Ryan Chu, he was part of a group called the Election Group, and he said, "Damn, Claire, you have a flair for drama, delivering just the margin needed at 3 a.m. I bet you had those votes counted at midnight, and you just wanted to keep the world waiting." So then Claire responded, "LOL, I just wanted to wait to say I had been awake for a full 24 hours. So they were laughing quite literally about that middle-of-the-night ballot dump, which should not happen in a normal election. So this was sent right around the same time they had over 140,000 ballots for Joe Biden, just injected into the system. Now, back in August, it was reported that Claire Woodall-Vogg was actually sending daily reports on that voter data to Michael Spitzer Rubenstein. Now, Michael Spitzer Rubenstein is another very familiar name. He was a part of one of these NGO election organizations that was sharing information between the actual city and themselves, so they would have all of the needed information just to determine how many ballots they could inject into the system at any given moment. By keeping that real-time connection open and actually following the results of the election direct from the horse's mouth, and then having the knowledge about which ballots had not been cast for which residents of Milwaukee, whether they were alive or dead, it allowed them to know exactly how many ballots they could safely inject into the system. And more than that, how many ballots they would need to inject into the system if they wanted to steal that election, as they did. So Michael Spitzer Rubenstein, he's a well-known Democratic operative, and he works with a number of different private liberal organizations. He had not only been doing it on the night of the election, but of course in the lead up, and I'm sure he's done a lot of work since. Now, the McIver Institute is an organization in Wisconsin, and they gained access to the same email chains that Spitzer, Rubenstein, and Woodall Vogue were sending. And in that email chain, Woodall Vogue, Claire, who got fired, admits to handing over the daily reports to those liberal groups. Now, you might be forgiven if you thought, well, hey, maybe this is just a practice that the city does. I mean, maybe they want everybody to have the knowledge about who's voted and, you know, and just hand the information out freely. I mean, it is publicly available data, isn't it? Well, no, because Claire didn't play nice with conservative election integrity groups. Claire only played nice when it came to these liberal left-wing organizations like Michael Spitzer Rubenstein's. And you guys, is the chat working? Chat is sticky. Yeah, I was going to say, it doesn't look like it's moving at all. Huh. Well, that's odd. Let me go ahead and refresh it. Well, you know, guys, it may... Okay, now it's working. All right. Oh, yeah. Now a bunch is coming through. Okay, cool. So, there's more with Claire. More reasons why they might have gotten rid of her. There was also this question of a flash drive. There was a lost flash drive that was apparently misplaced, and it contained very, very crucial information about absentee voters. Now, in the early morning hours of November 4th, Claire realized, hey, I seem to have lost my flash drive while I was on my way to the Milwaukee County Courthouse. I was going to report the results of more than 169,000 absentee ballots that were collected in my city in Milwaukee. Now, the Milwaukee police eventually recovered the drive. It was found to be in a tabulator machine. However, the incident, of course, raises sincere questions about the integrity of the elections in Milwaukee, chain of custody. Anything could have happened when that flash drive was no longer in Claire's custody. Anybody could have intercepted it and uploaded whatever data they wanted. By having it plugged into one of those tabulators, it's possible that it could have even been accessed over a remote connection, which makes the presence of whatever was on that flash drive something that we simply cannot trust. Now, sources that work within Milwaukee County law enforcement revealed the details of that incident to Wisconsin Right Now, and they reported on it exclusively at the time. Now, the Wisconsin Election Commission received a letter from Claire, and she admitted in that letter to having lost that flash drive, but she claimed with all sincerity that it definitely did not alter or change any of the results or the information that was on that flash drive. I submit to you that that is an impossible assertion to make with any sort of sincerity, integrity, or firm knowledge and understanding. So Claire said a senior staff member removed the flash drive from the machine and handed it to a Milwaukee police officer who delivered it to me 10 minutes later. How long had she been gone from that flash drive, and who exactly had access to that flash drive in the meantime? Again, was that tabulator a tabulator that was connected to a local network or a Wi-Fi network? Is it possible, considering everything we know about the election equipment that is used in places like Milwaukee, all of these swing states, is it possible that somebody could have accessed that information? Is it possible that somebody could have altered or abolished any of the real election information on it? It absolutely is. But more importantly, because Claire broke that chain of custody, since we can't tell any of these questions that I'm asking, we can't trust the reliability of the information that's on that flash drive. It gets worse. There was more scrutiny that was paid to Claire because some video footage came out. And in that video footage, she was feeding ballot totals into a machine in the very early morning hours when there was nobody else that was present. Again, that's not something you're allowed to do. You're supposed to have minders with you at all times when you're actually counting or you're tabulating so that there can be a visible
personal record, and somebody checking to make sure that you are doing your job correctly, because otherwise the people of Wisconsin, the people of America, are going to look at whatever numbers you hand over, and especially when they're suspect, as they were back in 2020, we're going to say, well, Claire, forgive me for not trusting a damn thing you say. Now, reporters at the time actually filmed senior executive Claire Woodall-Vaug feeding these totals into a machine without any observers present. And although that information was caught on video, considering the fact that nobody was there to see exactly what she was inputting, the FBI and the Milwaukee Police Department were really unable to do much of anything about it. But they did find threatening emails and voicemails targeting Claire, and of course that was the focus of the investigation. The investigators, of course, had to look at people who felt they could not trust Claire, who felt that it would be a wise decision to send her messages and say, listen, Mitch, you can't be doing that. We don't trust you. But one voicemail said, I really sincerely hope you get what's coming to you, you fraudulent expletive. Now, this is something I cannot recommend against enough, you guys. It's one of the reasons why I just block somebody when they come into the chat and they start talking about committing overt acts of violence against people in authority. That is a call that is going to be heeded by federal authorities and perhaps local and state law enforcement officials as well. They're going to pay attention to the people who say those things. Nine times out of ten, the people who come into the chat and say, you need to do this, they're probably feds or they are operatives of one form or another. They're trying to entrap you into saying or doing something that you can't take back, and then the authorities can take your piece off the chessboard. It also makes somebody like Claire Woodall-Vaug, who, in my opinion, is certainly engaging in fraudulent and dishonest activity in the course of her job as the Milwaukee elections director, and it turns her into a sympathetic figure. The last thing that I want is for the only reporting about these incidents is to be a character study about how this person was merely trying to do their job, and some radical right-wing Trump supporter, an America firster, called Claire and left her voicemails about how badly they want to see something happen to her. We don't even know if those messages were actually from people who even live in Milwaukee or were Trump supporters at all. But those threats continued on, and Claire ended up publishing a number of these exchanges online. Now, Ryan Chu, that was the guy with the election group, when he wrote to her and said, oh, you know, I'm glad that you got this into us. Yeah, I bet you were sitting on those votes all night. Yeah, that should be what they were investigating. They should be investigating Claire's mishandling of seriously, seriously important election information. But again, because somebody called her and made her look like some sort of martyr, who was being threatened by people who don't trust our election system, that became the story. Now, all I can say is that I know what I'm going to do, I know what I'm going to say, and I know how I'm going to behave. And I implore you all to do the exact same thing. I want to know that when I see this sort of suspicious behavior, that I know it's coming from a federal agent or an operative or something like that. I don't think anybody here watching right now would be stupid enough to do something like that. But I'm saying this if somebody is out there who is thinking that that might be a tactic they might want to use. It's not going to do any of us any good. There are ways to fight without engaging in that sort of behavior. Now, the funny thing is, the Gateway Pundit actually got some airtime on CNN, because CNN was reporting on the Gateway Pundit's reporting about Claire Woodall-Vaug. And in this report, of course, they framed her as a sympathetic figure. There's nothing sympathetic about Claire Woodall-Vaug. Now, Claire is also unique because Wisconsin election integrity activist Peter Bernegger, who is coming on the show very soon. We spoke about him a couple of weeks ago, and Hot Wisconsin, they're both coming on the show. He filed a criminal complaint against her for the blatant lawlessness and her mishandling of this information. Now, You may remember Peter had charges filed against him. It was either by the DA from Milwaukee or it was the state attorney general for publishing like a fake document or something like that. Yeah, it's a bad case, and I think that Peter's going to be just fine. I can't wait to talk to him about it. But Claire Woodall was one of those people that he submitted a criminal complaint against. Now, she actually set up a tent in a back alley, and she sent a couple of public works employees who were not election employees. They were not trained in what to do in the election, and they were actually harvesting and collecting ballots from cars. And they never asked anybody where these ballots were coming from. It was like a drive-through window for ballot harvesters. They would pull up out back. These guys who had not been trained in the election system, they would just collect these ballots. They could be fraudulent. They could be coming from people who didn't actually live in the area. They could be coming from people who were not even living in residential homes or apartments. And then they would go in and hand them off, and Claire Woodall would be totally fine with it. Now, Election Watch is Peter Berneger's organization, and he said, yay, Claire got fired. She is and was the most corrupt election clerk in Wisconsin. I took her sworn deposition in a lawsuit I filed against her as Milwaukee City election clerk, and she printed 64,000 ballots in the back conference room of City Hall, Room 501, specifically for the November 3rd, 2020 election. She had city employees and others fill some of those out on the 4th, the 6th, and other floors of City Hall. And then they kicked out observers around 10 to 10:30 p.m. on November 3rd. Then they brought in all of these large numbers of ballots at 1:15 a.m. on November 4th. This was an illegal and unconstitutional act. It is, in Wisconsin, the number one way that liberals stole the presidential election in 2020. Now, once again, I suggest to you that Claire Woodall Vog played ball in the way that the deep state needed her to, and she was more than happy to oblige. And even though it's a Democrat who fired her, there is always the possibility that he's an honest Democrat, and maybe he sees what we've been talking about for several years. I think it's less likely that he fired Claire so that he could put somebody who was more corrupt in there. Maybe he did. And I suppose we're going to find out. But things are changing all around the country. We have very different procedures that are in play in very, very many areas. And even more specifically, at the RNC, I want to talk about this before I jump into this next story. I just need to figure out where I dropped it because here it is. Here it is. All right. Because we've spoken on a number of occasions about the changes that are happening at the RNC, at the national Republican level. Michael Whiteley, chosen by Trump to lead the RNC, Lara Trump, his daughter-in-law, the co-chair. The Trump Organization essentially controls the national Republican Party at this point. And that's a very positive thing because it means that the RNC is going to be backing Trump up and backing up election integrity in some really key ways. We've talked about the lawyers that they've hired. We've talked about the revised training that they've gone through. We've talked about the fact that they've been told to focus exclusively on election integrity, that they are not allowed to leave the room when ballots are being counted. If that means you got to piss in a 2-liter, then you got to piss in a 2-liter. But somebody at the RNC, who actually should have been the one overseeing these efforts by lawyers, election challengers, and people looking to verify what was happening in these count rooms, was a lawyer himself, and it just so happened that he was a never-Trumper. Obviously, having a never-Trumper at the RNC is not the way that we ensure the victory of President Trump and the focus on election integrity that we want. In fact, this man, Chief Counsel Charlie Spies, had reportedly claimed that elections could not be rigged at one point in the past. I think that Mr. Spies does not really believe that. I think that he knows elections can be rigged because it's a tremendously out of touch comment to make, especially when you know that the vast majority
of the American people, and vast majority of Republicans believe that the election system in America is broken and has been rigged. So now Charlie Spies has been pushed out of the RNC. Let me tell you a little bit about him. He's actually really good friends with Mark Elias. They created an organization back in 2016 that its sole purpose was to make the American people think that Donald Trump was a threat to democracy. They called him a grifter. This is the funny thing. When they call people grifters, whenever there are certain organized efforts to call people grifters, so that they will lose favor in the eyes of the people who should be supporting them. There are plenty of grifters out there. But there are also orchestrated efforts designed to impugn the character of patriotic Americans who want nothing more than to save this country. And when they call them a grifter, I mean, that's almost like calling somebody a Satan worshiper. Let's see. Buck Wayne says, I engage in Rumble Chat to comically assist in revealing, lampooning, and skewing policies and people that are counter to making America great again. May God bless all those who enjoy this show. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I really do appreciate it. Are you guys having trouble with the stream working or not? Rumble has been sucking big this one. Jeez of Pete's. Let me show you guys. Let me show you guys. Do you guys know how to change the quality of the stream? Hang on. Shoot, I can't show you. Actually, I can do this. Hopefully, there's enough people that can hear me. I mean, I noticed that there wasn't as many people here as there normally are for a Monday, but let me see here. All right, so when you scroll down, do you guys see on screen right here in the bottom right-hand corner of the viewer window? There is a little machine wheel, a cog. If you click that cog, you can change the speed of the video. Well, you're not going to change anything while I'm live, but you can change the quality, okay? You can do it at 640 by 360, 1280 by 720, and then two different versions of 1920 by 1080. 1920 by 1080 is full HD. You can do 4.5 megabytes a second or 9 megabytes a second. If you're having a problem watching the stream at one of the higher resolutions, I would just drop the resolution down. And, you know, 640 by 360, that should be no problem. Now, the people over on Pilled, they also have that option. It's either a high or a low quality. And I know that the people on Pilled know how to use it because, you know, my friends actually made it. Okay, so that's all. I just want to make sure people are aware of what to do there because it is an important feature to understand how it works. So working with Hillary Clinton's personal attack dog, Mark Elias, back in 2016, they called Trump a grifter. They repeatedly claimed that there was no fraud in the 2020 election. They were big fans of Joe Biden. And they supported those people who were campaigning against President Trump. Now, so why in the hell was Spies working at the RNC? You would be forgiven for asking that question because I had the exact same question. Apparently, Spies was also a appearance frequently on CNN. He was on an election integrity panel at CPAC back in 2021, and it was at this panel where he claimed that elections could not be rigged. Now, it was at that same panel that he admitted Mark Elias was a close friend and that they had been working to, quote, secure the election at the request of Hillary Clinton and the Democrats at the same time that Hillary and her teams were pushing the Russia collusion hoax. So let's go ahead. I want to show you guys this clip. Here he is.
So this is the $40.
I got to get rid of this commercial real quick. For anyone's we got one more commercial to get past.
Presidential election in America can't be rigged because there's multi levels of checks and balances, and those checks and balances are done in a bipartisan way. Any votes can be tracked. in terms of what's on the machines, and then you can go back and make sure it wasn't tampered with. And that's done by state and local officials who are from different parties across the board, depending on where the election's taken place. And the scale of conspiracy and collaboration that would have to take place to rig a national election would assume that Republican governors and Republican secretaries of state across the country were all working together with Democrats to try and hurt a Republican nominee.
Obviously that's exactly what happened. I mean, those things cannot be tracked because nobody was allowed to track them. They kicked out the Republican election monitors. They kicked out people who were supposed to be verifying those counts. Because the machines are electronic, it's like looking at a digital printout of how much money is in your bank account, and you know there's nothing in there, but it says $1 million. And so you go to get a loan and you say, look, I've got $1 million in my bank account, when you know nothing's there. You request a loan based upon that $1 million. That's your collateral. They give you the loan, and then they say, wait a second, we figured out there's no money in your bank account. You're talking about a massive conspiracy. That means that other people must be working together with me. Well, that's exactly what happened. And what he's describing, Republican governors, Georgia, Arizona, anyone, that's exactly what they did. Sabrado says, great show, Zach. Rumble is behaving much like that fake resident today. Thank you for all you do. Thank you so much. And Jim Kyle says, they should have been arrested for not letting both sides from seeing the ballots without question. Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's ridiculous to assert that there was not some sort of orchestrated conspiracy together, people working to stop Donald Trump. I mean, do you remember right after the election when Time Magazine posted that story? You know, oh, we didn't steal the election. We were just working to fortify it, to protect it against Donald Trump. Not working to ensure that the people of America elected the person they intended to, because that really would be the true definition of fortifying it. Snowcat Operator says, I went to see the Flynn movie in Indiana on Saturday. I got my Trump book signed and a photo with the Lieutenant General. I dropped your name and told him that you sent me. I saw Ivan the Deep State Marauder and Boone too. That's great. That's great, Snowcat. Awesome, man. Yeah, definitely. And if you guys have not seen the Flynn documentary, you can now actually, I believe you can stream it on Amazon, and you can also order the physical copy as well, but you can still get tickets to go see it and to meet General Flynn through the link in the description of this video, and I'll go ahead and pass it out. I just have one thing to ask you guys, though. If you do just want to watch it digitally, well, here's the thing. You can actually buy the special edition through General Flynn's website, and you can get like a physical copy, or you can get the physical copy that also comes with the digital download. And if you get it on Amazon, you can leave a review. And obviously, people are going to leave bad reviews that haven't even seen the film. So I'm just asking that anybody who has seen it, do me a favor and go ahead and leave a positive review if you feel so inclined. And if you want to drop my name in there, then that's totally awesome as well. Thank you very, very much, Snowcat Operator. Let me go ahead and drop that into the chat. And there we go. All right, so let's continue to hear the lies of Charlie Spies. And how in the hell did he get a job as the new lead RNC counsel after the 2020 election? I guess we're going to have to look directly at Ronna Romney Thin Lips McDaniel, who was too busy hiring her friends and buying floral arrangements and first class airfare, a lot more concerned with that stuff than she was with ensuring that voter turnout was what it needed to be to make sure that Republicans, America First Republicans, won all over the country.
And that's just not plausible.
All of these examples do not mean, by the way, that the election was stolen. It means that they were out there active and energized and had a message that got people to the polls.
What can we go back to? A hand vote, whatever, you know, paper ballots. But the computers are not working.
Ma'am, can I respectfully...
Yes, go ahead.
And I may get booed off stage for this, but I have to say that's simply not true.
Boo!
So, no, OAN has Yay! Now been sued for libel, and there is, this is largely based upon what happened in Antrim County, Michigan, with the machines, and I was there. We watched as they observed it, and yes, the machine, there was a programming error that flipped.
There was a programming feature that flipped the votes to ensure that Joe Biden would get them. I mean, you've got the best possible real world example of how these machines are not reliable, allegedly in my opinion, and in the opinion of everybody else in Antrim County. And yet he's got the balls to sit there on stage and tell us that, no, you're wrong. I saw what you saw, but you're wrong.
Votes. And it was caught, and we caught it, and it was corrected the same day. And we were suspicious for a long time that perhaps there was a software glitch statewide because other people use the same software. And there is just zero evidence that's true. I'm sorry.
So here's also my question. I've always wondered how they could possibly rationalize this. You know, the software that's pushed out to all of these machines, it's the same software. So how could it be that only the program in Antrim County, Michigan, it's the only place, supposedly, allegedly, not in my opinion, in the country, where this particular software glitch was pushed out? Things that make you go, Unbelievable things that make me go, I don't trust electronic voting machines, and I certainly don't trust voting machines that flip the results in favor of a candidate who is so spectacularly unpopular that nobody believed back in 2020 that he won, and nobody will believe it if they try to do it again here in 2024. Charlie Spies is lying, in my opinion. Spies lies.
Let's win the elections, yeah. Ahead, and Adam, not get worried about things that aren't true.
I remember Hillary Clinton's lawyer, Joe and I's mutual friend, Mark Elias, was really pressuring Republican lawyers to weigh in. Those of us that, so I was not on the Trump team. I was, had been Jeb Bush, working with Jeb Bush. So those of us that were not on the Trump team, they were weighing, we were pushing to weigh in and say, elections won't be stolen. We should validate the integrity of elections. And I did that. A lot of Republican lawyers did that and said, you can trust the system.
Trust the system.
Then, lo and behold, on election day, Donald Trump wins. And, who knew? Donald Trump wins. And then all of a sudden, it's Democrats calling into question the integrity of the election and the validation of the results.
Yeah, he is obviously, an inside agitator, a provocateur, somebody who was placed within the RNC only to help ensure that the deep state would continue getting the results that they wanted. Charlie Spies, working in the RNC, in and around the election, ensured that the sort of support we needed just wouldn't exist. And so Charlie Spies cannot be part of the RNC if we need and expect the type of support that we expect to see here in 2024. Number one, Indiana dad. He's a lawyer, enough said. Here's the thing. There are good lawyers. There are good lawyers. I mean, I've had them on the show before here. There's not a ton of them. But there are good lawyers out there who want to do this for the right reasons. Number one, Indiana dad, the RNC text bombs me 20 plus times a day. Most have a non-functional stop to end note. I used to give to WinRed, and now I give to DonaldJTrump.com. Any recommendations on where to donate? You should always donate directly to the candidate that is running for office. Because when you donate directly to the RNC, even now that it's under the control of the Trump organization, that money is going to be spent and split up in whatever way they deem best. So you might think that you're giving $100 to a certain candidate, and then that money ends up just going to fund not America First candidates. In any possible scenario that you can find, if you see someone that you want to support, you talk to them directly. You donate to them directly, because that's the only way that that money is going to assist them in their campaign specifically. So I'm really glad that Mr. Spies and his lies are no longer at the RNC. In my opinion, he's not somebody that could have been trusted. He never was somebody we could trust. So Michael Whatley has explicitly made a pledge to ensure that the 2024 presidential election is not tainted by the same type of widespread voter fraud we saw in 2020 and again in 2022. So the only reason that I can imagine that he was hired was to stop that sort of pledge from being implemented. So good riddance to bad rubbish. Speaking about bad rubbish, over the weekend, we learned that Jack Smith and his team in the so-called classified documents case against President Trump mishandled evidence and perhaps even altered evidence in this so-called documents case. We're going to talk about this in just a moment, so we'll be right back after this. Sell in May and go away? Well, that says it all. David Brady warns the S&P 500 could nosedive to 1,000 points. And CEOs like Jamie Dimon have been warning about 1970s-era stagflation and key indicators like the Q1 GDP numbers at 1.6% or persistent inflation point to stagflation coming back to our country. And you see, the 1970s was a lost decade for the stock market. But you know what? Gold and silver, they exploded higher. And you know who understands that? China, Russia, India, and South Africa. All of their central banks' precious metals buying sprees have not slowed. Protect your retirement with gold or place a bullish bet on silver and you're going to be okay. Call the proud Americans of the Patriot Gold Group today before it's too late. Just make sure to mention my channel, Red Pill 78, and this show, Red Pill News, and you will always get best-in-class service from Patriots protecting Patriots. Patriot Gold Group has the No Fee for Life IRA, where your IRA or 401k can be in physical gold and silver. Just give them a call today at 888-857-6092 to get your free investor guide today. Patriot Gold Group is a Consumer Affairs top-rated gold IRA dealer for 7 years in a row. Once again, call them today at 888-857-6092. Mention me, Zach Payne, and when you support my sponsors, you support this channel. All right, welcome back. Now, let me say thank you to EC Was Here. We're going to be talking about Boeing here in just a moment, but he says, 20 years ago, I worked at Boeing. McDonnell Douglas Corporation's culture was so toxic, I quit swearing. I'd never work in aerospace again. Nothing short of a complete cleansing of management will work. I've heard that on many different occasions, that when McDonnell Douglas and Boeing merged, the culture at Boeing went straight off a cliff, straight nosedive. So yes, I tend to agree with you. The only problem is now that, even though that executive culture may have been what caused the problems we're seeing at Boeing, I would hazard a guess and say that that toxicity is now endemic throughout the entirety of that organization. So it may need something other than just, clearing at the executive level. So, President Trump this weekend has now called for Jack Smith to be arrested because the special counsel admitted in that court filing that he lied to the court. He lied about those classified documents that were seized at Mar-a-Lago. He said, arrest deranged Jack Smith. He is a criminal. Now, what did he lie about? Well, he admitted to the court that he lied about those classified documents that got seized from Mar-a-Lago in that late night Friday filing. And then Jack Smith even responded to the claims about Trump's co-defendant Walt Nauta and his motion to extend a deadline for disclosures in the classified documents case. Walt Nauta, as you probably remember, because we've talked about him on a number of occasions, he was that Navy veteran working for President Trump. He was a personal staffer for Trump at Mar-a-Lago. He was indicted at the same time as President Trump. And his lawyer said that the team for special counsel Jack Smith had essentially attempted to bribe him into getting his client to turn against President Trump, insinuating that if he could get his client to testify against Trump, he could probably be relatively certain he would become a judge in the near future. So in that late night filing, Smith admitted that the FBI had messed around with the boxes containing the classified materials, and that as a result of that, we can't trust any of the stuff that's in there. It's a lot like chain of custody on ballots. You have to be able to trust that the information in the evidence as presented by the FBI in a case against a defendant is exactly the same as it was when they found it, because therein is supposedly lying the crime. Well, Jack Smith and his team altered the information. They moved it out of order. This is also the very same documents that Joe Biden's new administration had called President Trump and said, hey, you forgot a bunch of stuff, buddy. We're going to send it to you. And then instead of sending it directly to Mar-a-Lago, they sent it first to Virginia and then from Virginia on to Mar-a-Lago. So there is a lot of problems with the chain of custody coming and going. And so Jack Smith is not a trustworthy individual. It's my opinion. He's just as much of a liar as the former RNC legal head, Mr. Spies. And this is something that I think needs to be addressed. And I'm really looking forward to the next ruling coming from Judge Eileen Cannon, because in a sensible world, this is the type of prosecutorial misconduct that can lead to the total dismissal of these charges against somebody. And Eileen Cannon is somebody who I believe could potentially choose to take that route, because she seems to be a sensible and legal-minded individual, not somebody who is blinded by her own ideology, blinded by the hatred that these prosecutors and judges seem to have for President Trump. Eileen Cannon seems like a straight shooter. So we're still waiting on that information coming from her. Now, also over the weekend, President Trump gave a fiery speech at Mar-a-Lago where he discussed a whole lot of things that I think some of us have been waiting to hear him talk about. And that includes who his potential vice presidential picks may be. He also made fun of Fannie Willis, and he called Jack Smith a, pardon my French, fucking asshole. Oh, man. So President Trump hosted a big dinner over the weekend. Around 400 donors showed up. These were also lawmakers and other people who are supporting President Trump. They paid $40,000 a head so that they could help him fundraise at this lunch. And it was all part of the RNC's spring retreat, so in conjunction with the Republican National Committee. President Trump literally called Jack Smith an effing asshole for trying to throw him in prison for what are truly just, you know, crimes of free speech, not crimes at all. He also went on to call Jack Smith an evil thug and said that he was deranged. Then he took Fannie Willis to task, mocking her, calling her a real beauty, and he called her Mrs. Wade during his speech. Mrs. Wade, obviously, in reference to the affair that she had with Nathan Wade, who was married at the time. And, of course, that notorious affair is what led to Special Prosecutor Nathan Wade losing his job and seemingly his sole source of income, which he was supposed to be using to pay alimony and medical expenses for his soon-to-be ex-wife. He also compared Joe Biden's regime to Nazi Germany, accusing them of running a Gestapo-type organization. And the 45th president of the United States was not simply content slamming his political opponents. He also took the time to maybe tease out who could be his running mate. So a couple of the potential GOP vice presidential candidates were actually in attendance for that retreat. That included South Carolina Senator Tim Scott, New York Representative Elise Stefanik, North Dakota Governor Doug Burgum, Ohio Senator J.D. Vance, Florida Senator Marco Rubio, Florida Representative Byron Donalds, I could go with him, and South Dakota Governor Kristi Noem. He said, I've got 50 people calling me, begging me. I'll cut off my right arm, sir, Trump said. Please, I want to be the vice president. I guess he gave a special shout out to Elise Stefanik because she had fiercely defended him during the impeachment hoax trials, and he completely destroyed the woke Ivy League presidents for their handling of the protests that have been happening on their campuses. He said, everybody, she's going to be the vice presidential candidate. Trump previously described Stefanik as a real killer during a Mar-a-Lago dinner back in January. However, he did go on to tease and give praise to a number of other people. He said that his former presidential rival, Tim Scott, was one of the greatest surrogates, and he called J.D. Vance incredible. He also had kind words for Doug Burgum, who was also a former rival. He said he's really impressive. He went on to praise Marco Rubio as a talented guy. And he also offered to let donors come up on stage if they donated $1 million on the spot. Two of those donors took Trump up on the offer, and one told the crowd, Donald Trump is the person that God has chosen. Amen. I can get behind that. Stormy Fat Tits, you're a loser forever. Okay. Now, continuing, President Trump and his campaign have also filed the first 2024 election lawsuit. They've demanded a ban on counting of mail-in ballots after Election Day. This seems to me to be a remarkably level-headed decision to make. But this is a lawsuit in connection with President Trump and the RNC. And it follows a number of other election integrity lawsuits that have already been filed by the RNC themselves. Why would they need to do this? Well, clearly back in 2020, we saw massive election fraud all across the country, the rigging of the ballots in a number of key swing states so that Joe Biden will be crowned the puppet master of the United States. Now they're seeking to block the counting of mail-in ballots that are received after Election Day. If you didn't get the ballots in on time, then I'm sorry, but your ballot should not be counted. It's like turning in your term paper after the deadline when you're in college or even in high school. You don't turn the paper in on time, chances are pretty good that your professor is going to say, sorry, you missed the deadline. You don't get to turn it in. Same thing if you don't show up to your shift at work. You might end up losing your job. Now, dilution of honest votes to any degree by the casting of fraudulent or illegitimate votes violates the right to vote, the lawsuit states. By holding voting open beyond the federal election day, Nevada violates federal law and harms plaintiffs. I would agree with that. Now, counting of mail-in ballots received after election day doesn't just dilute the valid ballots. It specifically and disproportionately harms Republican candidates and voters. These harms are irreparable. So this is all in response to legislation that had been passed by Nevada's Democratic-controlled legislature going back to 2021. That legislation allows the tallying of mail-in ballots that have been received up to 4 days after Election Day, as long as the envelopes are postmarked before the end of the day. So Nevada's ballot receipt deadline clearly violates federal election law and undermines election integrity in the state. RNC's chairman Michael Whatley said in his statement with his lawsuit, ballots received days after Election Day should not be counted. Now, this is not going to be the only place where we see a lawsuit like this being filed, because 19 U.S. states allow the counting of mail-in ballots received after Election Day. Now, this law claims that they allow more voters to participate, although they are commonly used as a way of giving Democratic operatives enough time to find the necessary votes to ensure victory. I'm praying that this is going to be a successful ruling, because this does violate laws. It disenfranchises everybody who got their ballots in on time, because everybody who did not get their ballots in on time should not have those ballots counted. All right. Oh, I also needed to say thank you. Hold on just a second. pardon me. I need to say thank you to Jeff. Jeff Werner. Thank you very much, Jeff Werner, for that donation on Cash App, buddy. I appreciate it. All right. So, controlling and securing the elections is only a part of this. I mean, we really do have to get the people out to the ballot box. And I believe that that's not going to be a problem this time around. I mean, you look at the issues that our country is facing and who is responsible for those issues our country is facing. The current illegitimate regime, elections have consequences. The democratic operatives in the non-governmental organizations, the rhinos who refused to assist in securing our elections, people like the RNC's former legal head, Mr. Spies. Well, Democrats thought that they could secure this election by impugning the character of President Trump through the use of lawfare tactics, which we are seeing play out in places like New York, Georgia, D.C., Florida. And as we have shown time and time again, those efforts by the deep state have been unsuccessful. You know, they thought that this Alvin Bragg trial and all these other trials would destroy President Trump's chances in 2024. They would be able to stop his campaign because, let's be honest, with these unfair and unconstitutional gag orders, they're trying to make it impossible for President Trump to be able to talk about what he's facing and to be able to support his own positions and to defend himself in public. The only problem is that it's going and doing the exact opposite of what they had hoped. So they had really counted on the fact that Manhattan District Attorney Alvin Bragg and his prosecution of President Trump would hurt and stall his campaign. But the polling is showing that these proceedings have failed to impact President Trump's chances. As the trial has dragged on, as every single day we see over and over again the way that the deep state's lawfare tactics against President Trump have been trying to hurt him, more and more people see that as something they can identify within themselves. How many of you out here watching this show have been the victim of some unfair practice by some element of our failed and corrupt system, be it the judicial system or the IRS or the federal government or your state government? I guarantee that there are many people out there who feel they've been victimized. And because they were just one man or woman standing in the face of overwhelming odds, a gigantic machine coming after them who just sees them as a little person they can squish. You look at President Trump and what they're doing to him and you say, that's exactly what they did to me. This is exactly what they've been doing to the American people for decades. And it makes you want to vote that much harder for President Trump. So President Trump is now in the fourth week of this trial in New York City. And the polling shows that the proceedings have failed to impact his chances. In this fourth week, where he's facing 34 felony counts related to the alleged falsification of these business records regarding the reimbursement of payments to porn star Stormy Daniels back in 2016, a number of polls released since the start of jury selection back on April 15th have found that a potential conviction will not deter voters from supporting him in November. They can get a guilty verdict, but it's not going to stick. And all it's going to make me do is want President Trump there more. Also, individuals nationwide say they don't believe President Trump acted illegally, and they believe he's being treated unfairly by Alvin Bragg and his team. Millions of Americans are hopping mad at this kangaroo court, and it shows in this recent polling data. This is a veteran Republican strategist by the name of Mark Weaver, working for the Daily Caller. He says, when dozens of partisan players, most of whom are coordinating with the Biden White House and the Biden Justice Department, use taxpayer dollars and precious court resources to try and defeat President Trump long before the voters can even decide, it makes people understandably angry. In another poll by Emerson College that was put out on April 30th, it showed a majority of swing state voters across Arizona, Georgia, Nevada, North Carolina, Michigan, Wisconsin, and Pennsylvania all said that a potential conviction in this case will not deter them from backing Trump in 2024. And a plurality of independent voters, which is going to be a crucial voting block this time around, said a conviction would also have no impact on whether they support President Trump.
Also, we have those CNN polls that I love to quote. They released a poll on April 25th indicating that 76% of registered voters who back Trump say that they will cast a ballot for him, regardless of what happens in this fake Bragg case. It also showed that a majority of Americans are not confident that a Manhattan jury can reach a fair verdict. 56% believe that they will not reach a fair verdict. In an AP poll published on April 15th, only 35% of Americans think Trump acted illegally in regards to this case in New York. The poll also indicated that only 31% of respondents are extremely or very confident that Trump is being treated fairly. Nearly three quarters of the respondents believe he's being treated unfairly. Also, some Democrats appear optimistic about the trial hurting him, but in reality, it's clearly the exact opposite. Here we have Jim Messina, a campaign manager for former President Barry Obama's reelection bid. Trump lost the popular vote twice and has a lot of ground to make up from his 2020 loss. It's going to be hard to move any swing voters while there's wall-to-wall coverage of Trump campaigning from a courtroom. Well, obviously, Mr. Messina is not paying attention to what's happening in reality. Katie Grant Drew, she's another Democratic strategist who's simply making statements in an effort to disenfranchise President Trump and suppress the people who already have committed to voting for him. She said that the trial will provide a stark contrast between the priorities of President Biden, who will be focused on getting work done for the American people, and Trump, who will be focused on his own personal legal travails. Trump may have been forced to focus on his own personal legal travails, but that's as a result of the priorities of the Biden regime, who is using the weight and might of the federal government and all of its various illegitimate agencies to come after President Trump and to force him into a courtroom. And then the spokesperson for the RNC, Rachel Lee, getting a little bit more honest about it, slamming the Democrats for hanging their hopes on a show trial while voters see it for what it is. It's a political witch hunt. Now let's talk about what Biden isn't focusing on. How about Bidenflation hitting Americans hard? How about Biden not going after the pro-Hamas protesters that are all over college campuses nationwide? How about Joe Biden and his administration funding both sides of this war in the Middle East, giving aid to Israel, giving aid to Hamas, helping to ensure that America remains embroiled in endless physical wars around the world when men and women here in this nation are suffering greatly? How about Joe Biden allowing millions of illegals to come across our southern border and then setting them up in states all around this nation, giving them allowances for rent and medical bills and food and shelter and everything you could possibly think of? Meanwhile, veterans and American homeless are dying on the streets. D-Tech says, great show as always. Thanks, Zach. Good to see you, buddy. Thank you very much. It's no wonder that Joe Biden is losing to Donald Trump, because he's losing the hearts and minds of Americans because he focuses not upon them. He never has. He's always focused on his own pocketbook. He's focused on turning America into a communist nation at the behest of his butt buddy Barack Obama. And additionally, in another poll by NPR and PBS, a couple of the most liberal organizations who should not be funded by American taxpayer dollars, they conducted it between the 22nd and 25th of April, and they found that a majority of Americans are not even following President Trump's New York trial. 55% of the people out there are not paying attention. Only 45% of them are. And then Scott Jennings, a GOP strategist and a veteran of many campaigns, believes that while President Trump getting convicted won't be helpful necessarily, there's no doubt that this case is the least serious. A liberal prosecutor using a novel legal theory to pursue felony charges against the leader of the opposition party and keeping him from campaigning, well, it's pretty ridiculous, honestly. There are far more consequential things that are happening in the world. Joe Biden has lost control of this country. Democrats are out here trying to convict President Trump from, and they are failing to file the proper decisions that must be made all around this country, allowing this nation to fall apart. And instead, they are focusing on President Trump's accounting, which wasn't even done by him. It was done by an accountant, and he didn't even know about the payments that were going
to Stormy Daniels. So they are seeking to convey that the actions President Trump took, making this alleged $130,000 payment to a former porn star to keep her quiet about an affair, is part of this broader scheme to interfere with the 2016 election. He's not charged with any of that stuff. And as I said before, that's actually illegal to do that in the state of New York. And President Trump is now restricted from campaigning. He's not allowed to talk about things. He's been fined $9,000 by a ridiculous Obama judge, Juan Marchand. And Juan Marchand has even stated that he might throw him in jail. Now, I've shown you all the polls. President Trump is leading in every single swing state all across the country. And instead of hurting him, I believe they are helping him. And the further this goes, the closer we get to the election, the harder it's going to be for them to admit that Donald Trump isn't going to kick, that Joe Biden isn't going to kick the ass of Donald Trump. It's going to be the exact opposite. Thank you to AskWatch for dropping that can over on Pilled and Porpoiseful, who says, good afternoon. Thank you, Zach. Nikki the Greek, thank you for the cookie. Loop to Loop, thank you as well. Polly 9363, thanks for a phone and a pair of shades. Good Dog, thank you for the shades. Porpoiseful, thank you for the cookie. Sean Joe, thank you for a can and a cookie. And J2 Dank, thank you for the cookie as well. Filter Dog 1, in commenting on Mr. Spies, the now former lead attorney at the RNC, says he lied. Oh, really? Knew he's the scumbag. Yes, he definitely is. 315 Russ says the term liar is subjective. It depends on what you, depends on what reality you mentally live in. Ah, okay. Well, we're living in the real world, and they're living in a completely manufactured reality. Sean Joe, thank you for the cookie. Thank you to Filter Dog for the cookie. Thank you to Average Joe Patriot, who says the future's so bright you gotta wear shades. Thank you for the shades. And PQuest, thank you for the cookie as well. Now, in keeping with the theme about the American people throwing their support behind Donald Trump, another poll shows that voters in 2024 say they trust President Trump more than Biden to handle America's biggest issues as president. We saw what he did from 2016 to 2020, and things were pretty sweet. The only way they went down is because the deep state's intervention in creation of a plandemic so that they could try to destroy President Trump. And they've only gotten worse since Joe Biden came into office. So what better way do we have to reverse those things than to bring back the man who fixed them in the first place? So the majority of people in America believe that President Trump is being convicted by a corrupt legal system, and that when they cast their votes in November, we're going to be looking at the economy. We're going to be looking at inflation. We're going to be looking at crime. All of these issues are at the top of the list. Where is immigration? We got to talk about the southern border crisis. They should add that fourth one in there. But those four issues are the most important issues, and the economy, inflation, crime, those spawn from the southern border crisis. So thinking about those things, which, my friends, are only going to get worse by November. They get worse every single day. And it's going to be orders of magnitude worse by the time we get to November. Those things are going to be so laser focused, just burned into the retinas of the people who walk into that ballot box. They're going to see one thing and one thing only, Donald J. Trump, and they're going to vote for him. So this information is coming from an ABC News Ipsos survey. It was released yesterday. 88% of voters place the economy at the top of their list of issues when they head to the ballot box. And President Trump is favored by 14% to handle that issue over Joe Biden. So that means 85% of voters also say that inflation is important to them in this year's election. And crime and safety come in third with 77%. Apparently, they didn't even ask them about the border crisis. They want to act like that isn't an issue. But on nearly every single issue in the top 10, voters say they trust President Trump more than Biden to handle it. And 80% of Trump supporters say that they're still going to cast their ballot for President Trump, even if he is convicted of fake and phony charges. This is really, really good news, my friends. This is coming from a sample size of about 2,300 adults. It's, again, coming from a left-wing news organization that is undoubtedly oversampling for people on the left.
And yet the results are still overwhelmingly in favor of our man, DJT, the Don, the Teflon Don, Donald J. Trump, the boss, Joe Biden, you're fired. Now, you know who else is giving positive coverage to Donald Trump? That would be the New York Times. This is also a sort of frequently reoccurring theme. Mainstream media outlets who have for years been denigrating and reporting fake news on Donald J. Trump, they are forced to admit that the American people want this man to come back and that he is the only thing that's going to stop America from sliding into a black hole and us turning into a communist nation. So they're admitting that Donald Trump is increasingly popular and more specifically with young voters because they prefer his policies to those that are promoted by the Biden regime. So this article was published over the weekend, and they note that in their own polling, Biden and Trump are supposedly tied neck and neck among young voters. This contradicts the narrative that Joe Biden's appeal is with young voters. I would say that he never had appeal with young voters. I think that most people can smell something fishy coming off of Joe Biden, and any man who needs to spend 40% of his work days on vacation so that he can rest and recuperate only to go in front of a crowd, fail to read a teleprompter, read the directions out loud, and then stumble and slur his way through the things he can read, that simply is not appealing to people with youth and vigor. So they claim that President Biden continues to lead among 18 to 29-year-olds in most polls. However, several surveys in recent weeks show that Mr. Trump is performing much more strongly with younger voters than he did at the same point back in 2020. And again, and this is even stronger than he polled among young voters against Hillary Clinton in 2016. And since it's the young people who are now paying their own bills and being forced out into the world only to find that they can't afford to live in it, they're the ones who begin to recognize that, wow, this is about a lot more than whether or not Joe Biden supports trans rights or Joe Biden says that we need to give reparations to people. I'll give you reparations. I'll give you reparations in the form of a successful economy. When you, as an American citizen, have the ability to fulfill the American dream, that right there is reparations for anything that's happened to you in your life. Joe Biden is essentially enslaving every single American, regardless of their race, creed, or color. And Donald Trump is going to be the man that comes back and breaks those chains. So President Trump is going to get the youth vote in November. Now, today, earlier, as this fourth week of Alvin Bragg's fake news hush money payment trial began, that crooked Obama judge Juan Marchand is giving even more fines to President Trump. And he's even said that these $1,000 fines are not working. And he's now threatening another contempt of court charge. We gave it to him, and then he's threatening jail time. Now, I've said this before. President Trump is daring Juan Marchand and Alvin Bragg to send him to jail. Alvin Bragg recognizes it, and he stopped suggesting that this is a viable threat. We cannot tell Trump we'll put him in jail because he wants us to put him in jail. Juan Marchand is afflicted with a sickening amount of hubris. He doesn't see what the rest of us see. He doesn't see what Donald Trump sees. He doesn't even see what Alvin Bragg sees. He thinks by putting President Trump in jail, he'll be some sort of hero to the left. Maybe he's got plans of running for governor someday in the state of New York. Well, I don't think that's going to be a successful tenure for you, Judge Marchand. And if you put President Trump in jail, you will make him, as he said, a modern-day Nelson Mandela. And Donald Trump will soar to heights. Up until this point, previously unseen, the popularity of this man, you will once again ensure a victory of overwhelming proportions. So I encourage you, I invite you, just as Donald Trump has invited you, try me, Marchand. Try Trump, Marchand. Try the American people and see how they respond to you putting this man in prison, the only man in the national political arena who has done anything to measurably improve the lives of every single person, no matter who they are, no matter who they voted for, no matter where they live, even in shitholes like California and New York. And my apologies to anybody who lives in California and New York. It's not because of you. It's because of the horrendous leadership of the people who are running your states. But Judge Marchand now threatening to throw President Trump in prison. He also threatened President Trump's team with contempt of court for speaking out publicly in his defense. Apparently, his legal team is not allowed to comment either. President Trump is hated by the left, and Democrats hate it when conservatives and Trump supporters refute their lies and push back against the unlawful attacks that they have hoisted upon him. Now, Judge Marchand has not allowed the defense team to know the witnesses that will be called before the court. This is unprecedented. For the court to withhold this vital information from the defense team, it means that they're unable to prepare themselves for who's going to be called. I have never heard of this happening before. And he told President Trump that he had until 2:15 today to take down those posts on Truth Social. Now, I have no idea whether or not President Trump took those posts down. So let me refresh this article and see if they've done an update. Come on. No, looks like they have not. Okay, well, listen, this is President Trump speaking today on his way into court. Let's go ahead and take a listen and see what he had to say, because I'm sure he probably mentions his daughter.
There's no case here, and yet the judges gagged me, and I'm not allowed to talk about, I guess, his total conflict. The judge is totally conflict. It's totally conflicted, and you ought to take a look at it. And I'm not supposed to be talking about it, but I am allowed to say that the judge has a conflict that, like, nobody's ever had before, and you ought to take a look at it. He's taken away my constitutional right to speak. I was in Miami this weekend, and reporters are asking me questions, the same questions like you're asking me, and I have to say I have a gag order, I can't speak about it. Never happened before, ever. Number one. Number two, it's a fake trial. They have no case, and it's been absolutely proven now. They have no case whatsoever. This is Alvin Bragg doing it for political reasons for Biden. This is a Biden trial. He's a crooked president. Now, it just came out, Columbia just canceled their commencement, Axios. Columbia just...
Yes, that's right. He is in total conflict. Judge Juan Marchand has no business sitting on the bench before this trial, not only because his daughter literally is being paid by the Biden regime and by Democratic operatives all across the country and fundraising on the fact that her father is seeing over this trial, but Judge Marchand's own comments put him in conflict. He has again threatened President Trump with these violations, and I have to say, he is risking the ire of the American people by doing so. He is going to put himself into a position where he'll be solely responsible for the victory that Donald Trump will achieve come November. Now, President Trump went on to make continued statements about what's been happening at college campuses all around the country. We'll talk about that a little bit more in just a few moments. But Nathan Wade, the former Mrs. Fannie Willis, or Mr. Fannie Willis, he's come out. He gave an interview on Good Morning America, and he said that President Trump's Georgia election interference case will get to a day of reckoning. I think that it will, just not in the way that Nathan Wade is implying, because he was forced to be removed from the case because of his improper relationship with Fannie Willis. And even more than that, the lies he told on the stand as a special prosecutor working for his girlfriend, cheating on his wife, and trying to falsify information and, more than likely, to intimidate witnesses, his former law partner, Mr. Bradley. Now, Lindsay Davis asked him, one aspect Wade said he wasn't prepared for was the intense public scrutiny and harassment that he said he's faced.
You didn't realize when you took this case your life was going to be under a microscope. Well, he's obviously a very unintelligent person if that's what he thought. I did not realize that my life would be in danger. Your life was never in danger, Mr. Wade. Your life was simply under a microscope. He says the microscope I didn't have a problem with. The truth is, you know, the worst that you could find was the fact that I had a relationship with somebody or that I happened to be going through a divorce. How about the lies that you told as a prosecutor? You're supposed to have a higher standard than the average person because you understand the law better than just the average person who's trying to cover up their affair from their divorce attorney and from the divorce attorney of their soon-to-be ex-wife. But he claims his life is in danger. This is always what they fall back on. People like Mr. Brad or Nathan Wade, they get caught doing something. And then when they get called out, they say, I'm experiencing threats of violence. My life is in danger because people found out I'm a big fake and a liar. He said, well, I'm sorry, the reporter said, some of the attacks have come from the former president himself. Is there any part of you that regrets that you gave him any aspect to say, oh, you have to question the credibility of this case because of the relationship between Fannie Willis and Nathan Wade? And Wade said, so while I will concede, Ms. Davis, that the relationship did not happen in ideal timing, I don't think that anything that occurred during the course of that relationship could cause the question on this case as it would relate to the sufficiency of the indictment, as it would relate to evidence that was encountered, may or may not be presented at trial. And I ask, what evidence? Evidence for crimes, which are not even real crimes. These are trumped up charges. These are political charges that have been orchestrated by representatives of the Biden regime, the White House, and the DOJ. And he ended by saying there's going to be that day of reckoning where a Fulton County jury there in Fulton County, Georgia, would have to make that decision. And I do believe that they will make that decision, and I hope that it is the correct decision. But again, even if they convict President Trump of one of these fake crimes, it's not going to affect his ability to get elected in the slightest. Now, from one affair to another, this is what you call just desserts. A Democrat New York politician, someone who was instrumental in getting that act passed in New York to open up the statute of limitations, which allowed E. Jean Carroll to file these fake claims of sexual abuse against President Trump, now finds himself the subject of similar rape allegations. Only now he's claiming this law that he helped to pass is unconstitutional. You see, when Democrat politicians passed the Adult Survivors Act, they did it with one thing in mind: to get President Trump in trouble for the supposed sexual abuse of E. Jean Carroll some 30 years earlier. It was their own Trump derangement syndrome that put themselves in jeopardy, because if they had some skeletons in their closet, that means that their victims could come forward. In November, it was reported that allegations of sexual assault had been made against New York City Eric Adams from 1993, the same type of decades-old allegations which they spread against President Trump. Well, another Democrat politician, Kevin Parker, he's a state senator who represents Brooklyn, he's being hit with his own rape allegations, and he says that the Adult Survivors Act is unconstitutional. The accusation occurred against him just before the law expired, and it stems from an incident going back to 2004. So, Parker had touted his support of the law at the time because he thought it was only going to be used against President Trump. Well, he wrote about this legislation, "I voted in favor of the Adult Survivors Act to ensure all New Yorkers can seek justice and be heard." Well, he was thinking that nobody was going to hear about the allegations of rape that he allegedly committed. Now, he continued by saying, "These allegations are absolutely untrue. My work and my advocacy will continue." Olga Jean-Baptiste alleges that when she was working for Parker on relief efforts for Haiti back in 2004, he grabbed her by the wrists and then he forcibly raped her at her home. What happened to believe all women, Mr. Parker?
Parker's behavior has caused concerns in the past. Back in 2018, he tweeted, "Go kill yourself," to a GOP representative, a GOP staffer. Now, Candace Giovi, who was the New York State Senate Majority's deputy communications director, tweeted about Parker abusing his position after she discovered that a placard found in a car parked in a bike lane belonged to the state senator. However, the license plate number on the placard didn't match the vehicle. This is the typical kind of low-level Democrat corruption we see all the time. Giovi wrote on X, "It got to the bottom of this. That placard is assigned to Senator Parker. However, the license plate number on the placard does not match the vehicle. So he either used it in another car or he gave it to somebody else to use, both of which are acts which are not permitted." So Parker deleted his reply to Giovi, and this is what he wrote. "Kill yourself." And when someone wrote, oh my word. So basically, Parker was working on relief efforts in Haiti in 2004. Not certain how deeply connected to the Clinton Foundation he is or was, but he went to this vulnerable Haitian woman's home. And while he was there, as he was about to leave, he stood up, grabbed her wrists, forced her into her bedroom, shoved her face into the bed, and then proceeded to rape her, according to her allegations. This is a very different scenario, far more troublesome than what Donald Trump was accused of doing. You see, this woman remembers exactly where she was. She remembers the exact date. She remembers the stinking smell of Parker's breath on the back of her neck. She remembers everything. And so she's now made her own claim against Parker, and Parker is going to be forced to represent himself and defend himself in most likely a criminal and a civil trial, both. And I think it couldn't happen to a better guy. Thank you to Brubark, who says dual Israeli citizenship is rising in voters' concerns. Well, that's good to hear. I think citizenship of duality with any government outside of the United States should be a top concern. Thank you to Sean Joe, who just gifted a one-month subscription on Pilled, and thank you to Slug Trail for picking it up. Thank you to Sean Joe for dropping another one, and to Left MD for picking it up. Now, it's been interesting watching some of these big names get red-pilled in real time, and Elon Musk is one of those people. Now, a lot of people were hesitant to give Elon any sort of credit. I think that we should celebrate wins when we see them. And Elon Musk, now seemingly 100% awake to the threat that election fraud poses to this upcoming presidential election, he has announced he has promoted a nonprofit organization which urges whistleblowers to come forward. Now, on Saturday, he retweeted a video from the Fair Election Fund to his 182 million followers, and he got 1.6 million views at the time that this was written. Let's go ahead and watch the video.
Free and fair elections are the bedrock of our American experiment. It's part of our core, but we can only have confidence in the result if there is trust in the process. Across the country, there are real cases of fraud and abuses of the system that have eroded our trust. From executive orders opening the door to non-citizens voting, while some cities look to make it commonplace. Unions rigging the game through unethical ballot harvesting. And some leaders outright refusing to follow the law when administering elections. This is happening in plain sight. But those in power look the other way. They lie and dismiss and then demonize common sense steps to ensure our elections are free and fair. And they're still lying. That's where the Fair Election Fund comes in. We're making a major investment to compensate those who expose cheating in our elections. If you have knowledge of abuses in the system, your story could be what helps preserve our democracy. If you are an election worker, organizer, or concerned citizen who's witnessed this corruption firsthand, we want to hear from you. Those who report fraud are eligible for payment from our $5 million fund. With your help, we'll shine a light on the corruption and stop it. This is how we restore trust.
I couldn't be more excited about this effort. You know, I know that people are going to perhaps bristle at the idea that someone would need to be paid to come forward with this sort of knowledge. But unfortunately, that is the sad fact of the system and the country that we live in today. People have a lot to lose by coming forward with their own personal accounts of fraud, waste, and abuse. And all too often, people pay the ultimate price. Either they find themselves getting fired, perhaps they lose their lives, as in the case of the Boeing whistleblowers, or perhaps they might have their lives ruined by the people that they're trying to expose. So the Fair Election Fund is now expanding their plan to promote election integrity and offer these bounties to people who would come forward. So I would urge anybody out there who has this knowledge, get to it. Bring this information to the forefront. They said concerned citizens like yourself, did you witness this sort of thing happening back in 2020 or 2022? Have you witnessed unfair or illegal election practices taking place in this election cycle? Get in touch with the Fair Election Fund. You can find them at thefairelectionfund.com. And I'm going to pass that link out into the chat, and I'm going to be checking it as well. Deplorablonde, absolutely echo this sentiment. Pick a country. No man can serve two masters. I 100% agree. I think that anyone who is elected to serve the people of this nation must be a citizen of this nation and a citizen of no other nation. Otherwise, when questions arise in legislation or decision-making practices that require you to weigh the needs, the wants, or the desires of both of our nations, no matter which one it is outside the United States, you can only choose to represent one of those nations in your ultimate decision or vote. And if there is any possible speculation that you may be representing the interests of another nation, I consider that to be treason, and I know that's a heavy burden to bear, but I think it's absolutely the case, and people can only serve one master. They must serve the United States of America if they're going to be representing our country as an elected official. So I don't care what country it is, if it's the United States, if it's Brazil, if it is Ukraine, if it is Israel, if it's anywhere outside of this country, then I don't think you should hold elected office, and I think that should be made illegal. And that's something we can work on as we move forward. Now, another thing that I think we have been talking about for the last several years is taking over the Republican Party. This is something I have advocated for a very long time, using our power as the grassroots of this party to take it over and ensure that the America First agenda is the Republican agenda. And this past Saturday in Springfield, Missouri, we did just that. Now, in Springfield, this is where their party convention was held. And just as in a lot of other states, Missouri and the America First citizens who make up their party felt that their voice is no longer being represented in government. And it doesn't matter, you know, what they do, how hard they try, they've been unable to get the leaders of their party to take it seriously. Now, in Missouri, they are a super majority. And despite that fact, their message, their desires, their need to implement America First agenda was not being heard, and the party leaders in that state were blowing them off. And the GOP runs the state of Missouri. They have a huge majority. There are key conservative policies and wishes that the American people, who are America First, have desired to be implemented, and they've been pushed aside time after time for what seems like a radical left-wing agenda over and over again. Now, leading up to this event, there were a number of platform amendments that were passed at the county
and district caucuses. And they were meant to be reviewed by the platform committee of the state and implemented at the convention. Now, the draft that was presented by the GOP just ignored all of these wishes of the county and caucus heads. And every single amendment that they passed was watered down from the current version that their local election officials had said we wanted to be implemented. So this is, at its heart, disenfranchisement of the people who make up the party in Missouri. Disenfranchisement and ignoring of that conservative base. So what did the people do? Well, the grassroots America First representatives that made up those district and caucus seats, they rose up against the RINOs at that statewide convention, and they made a plan. They planned to unseat and oust every single RINO and then swap out those RINOs with America First reps and to swap out that RINO agenda for an America First agenda. That way they could force a revised platform to be voted on. And then officially the America First agenda would be the agenda of the Missouri Republican Party. So when the convention began, there was a concerted effort to bring MAGA back to Missouri. And although the RINOs that were in charge at the start attempted to keep those people back, attempted to stop that agenda from being implemented, they were pretty shocked, and they were forced to spend the next 3 hours talking in circles and trying to stop the vote from taking place until finally they realized they had no power any longer, and they could not overcome this coup that was put in place by those America First Republicans. So they stalled for 3 hours. They could not figure out any way to overcome the grassroots America First reps of the Missouri Republican Party. And eventually, a woman by the name of Sophia Shore was voted in as the GOP chairwoman. And as a result of that win, she began to implement the grassroots efforts of the America First people in Missouri, and it was a complete takeover from the top to the bottom. She was elected, got rid of all the RINOs, and the RINO platform was voted down, and the America First platform was voted in. This is a success story that I think every single one of you should take to heart, because if they did it in Missouri, then it's possible to do it in every single state around the country. And this is exactly what we need. We need to take over at every single level. I think we're getting there. It's just that it's going to take time. And obviously the opportunities that are afforded by something like this are few and far between. But if you get involved in your party, if you get involved at the precinct level, then you can have an impact in making sure that this actually takes place. Now, Mike Johnson. Mike Johnson's a rat, in my estimation. I don't trust him. I don't trust him at all. I know more than I've been able to tell you here on the air, because I've been sworn to secrecy by people who were not able to step forward themselves. But I have been honest about my feelings about Mike Johnson as he revealed himself. And Mike Johnson is now apparently seeking to retaliate against Republicans who are opposing him. And that, of course, is going to be specifically Marjorie Taylor Greene, and then Thomas Massey as well. He spoke this weekend at a group of high-value donors at the Four Seasons in Washington, and he signaled to this group of people who were coming to support him and the RINO agenda that he was going to be kicking members off committees who blocked his coalition government's legislative agenda and getting them off the committee so they wouldn't have any power. He's also talking about changing those House rules, such as the motion to vacate at the end of this Congress, which would essentially put us back exactly where we were before we brought McCarthy in and tested the waters. So Marjorie Taylor Greene and Thomas Massey are going to be specifically calling for Mike Johnson to be voted out. Now, Johnson has done a number of different things to betray the America First agenda and to betray the American people. And now the Democrats have pledged their support behind him, because having him in there appears to be just as good as having Hakeem Jeffries. So
You keep an eye out on what happens, and I think that Johnson is probably going to keep good on his word, talking about kicking Republicans off of committees if they vote against his bills and his rules. This comes after he's serving Chuck Schumer and Biden's every single wish and passing major bills with Democrats and not the majority of Republicans. Jim Kyle says, thick lips was a traitor. Thank goodness she's gone. Formerly thin lips, Ronna McDaniel, Representative Chip Roy, Ralph Norman, and Massey were all appointed to powerful House Rules Committee back in January 2023 as part of McCarthy's gavel-winning concessions to conservatives. This committee, which is long known as the Speaker's Committee because it has an outsized influence on the Speaker has an outsized influence on it, controls what the legislative agenda is the House is through the rules that they pass. Now, votes on the rules in this committee are generally not much more than a rubber stamp for the Speaker. But this trio of conservative lawmakers have shifted the balance of power on that committee. They consist of 9 majority members and 4 minority members, and it enables them to hold up legislation to ensure that a speaker considers conservative concerns before just ramming it down the throats of the people who make up the body. Johnson has made a history by working with Democrats to send legislation to the floor over the objectives of the conservatives within his own party. So the House also has to vote on and pass rules on the floor before voting on that underlying legislation. And because it's the Rules Committee, it is incredibly rare for a minority party to vote on a rule that's been issued by the majority. However, Johnson has made this alliance with the Democrats. He's been able to pass rules because of the Democrats working with him, and he has now effectively formed this coalition government. We often talk about the ineffective nature of Congress, and unfortunately, Congress is now getting things done, but they're getting things done on behalf of the Democrats and on behalf of the Biden regime. Now, I want to talk about a novel effort which seeks to address that very issue. And this is from a former Republican member of the Montana House of Representatives, a man by the name of Rick Maggi. And he's putting forth this amendment to the Constitution, which would allow state legislatures to reform Congress at the federal level. You may think that amending the Constitution in any way would be a bad idea, but this particular amendment, which would be the 28th Amendment, if I'm not mistaken, is actually well thought out, and I think it would do exactly what it seeks out to do. I mean, what is Congress right now except a body of self-serving politicians who basically serve lobbyists, they serve foreign actors, they serve ideologues that are seeking to destroy this country. They cater to the elites over the needs of the people. Most people in America believe that Congress is broken. So the question always is, how do we address that? What can be done about it? Well, both Democrat and Republican state legislatures have noticed that Congress has been on a decline over and over again every single session. They just get worse and worse and worse. And about 3 years ago, a bipartisan group put together a possible solution to address that federal problem. This is a plan coming from Democrats and Republicans. And they've had many, many meetings on this, and they've put together this remarkable idea, a bipartisan way to fix Washington, D.C. And it all has to do with the Constitution. Now, it's the people who own the Constitution. It's not Congress. It's not the president. It's not the Supreme Court. It's we the people who created the government to serve us. And there are approximately 7,500 state legislatures in all of our 50 states. So the original legislatures created the federal government to be of service to the states, and the states purposefully retained the power to rein in Congress if it ever became necessary. Well, friends, I posit to you now that it is necessary at this time. So the Constitution has been amended a number of times in the past. Oh, hold on a second. Yes, has been amended at least 17 times. And the states currently are poised to finally use the Article 5 powers that do something that Congress never does. This would be a constitutionally reformed Congress. All the states have to do is agree to meet And it looks like it's actually going to happen. So the states have a primary incentive to reform Congress because of the budget. They have a major, major policy of overreach in Washington, D.C. They continually spend more money than we have. They pledge more money to foreign governments. They spend money on the most ridiculous things. And they also show universally a lack of concern for the American people and, more importantly, our very important concerns about the way the country is being run. They are completely disconnected from the people that they represent. And they have even recently done an even worse job in separating themselves from the American people. Because back in April, when they reauthorized FISA, allowing our spy agencies to warrantly listen in and check up on all of the American people, but at the same time required a provision for congressional members, essentially telling the American people and the intel community that the members of Congress are more important than the people of the United States of America. You're going to have to, as an intel agent, you're going to have to tell Congress if you're going to be listening in on them. You have to warn them. All right. Well, nobody out here in the real world gets any sort of warning. The members of Congress are exempted not only from FISA, essentially, but they're also exempted from any bans on insider trading. They can essentially make themselves rich, and that's exactly what they do as soon as they get to Washington, D.C. This is little more than legal bribery. And they allow themselves to soak up all of this money. They become increasingly controlled by anonymous dark money sources from outside Washington, even outside of the country. And they have become really beholden to the donor class so that they can continually raise money, so that they can continually get richer, so that they can keep running for office, doing nothing for the American people over and over again. It's reported that members of Congress themselves, rather than spending time working for the American people, 30 hours are spent every single week raising money from donors. That's right. In an average work week, which a normal person spends 40 hours working, if at minimum, sometimes as much as 60, 80, even 100, Congress spends 30 of their working hours every single week fundraising and seeking money from donors. Most of them don't care about what the people back home are saying. They don't even think about us until just a few months before the election when they tell us that they're going to do this or that. But instead, they end up doing nothing at all. And they get all this money from lobbyists so that they can spend it to persuade voters that, oh, you know, I actually care. I actually hear you this time. This time I'm listening to you. So billions of dollars get funneled to government contractors that Congress is essentially bought and paid for. It ends up getting taken out of the country. It doesn't get directed to help the American people. It does not support our programs that are desperately in need of oversight and funding. And it's state legislators who are affected by this just as much as the regular plebs out here that are noticing and deciding that they're going to take action. So Congress feels that they can lie to the American people whenever they want. They feel that it's perfectly permissible to lie to the media. They even feel it's probably okay to lie to each other. But when they mislead the legislators of the individual states, they're agitating people who have the power and the will to do something about it. These are people who also represent us, but they represent us on a much smaller level because it's only the whole, this state. It's individual districts. They can speak to us, and they're the ones who are being affected by it just as much as us. So this bipartisan draft of a 28th Amendment to the Constitution is proposing a reformation of Congress. So no other part of the Constitution is affected. No other part of the Constitution is altered. State legislators who put this together went so far as to make prohibitions on other topics being included in it without three quarters of the states agreeing to that amendment prior to it being voted on. So that rule would prevent political issues, things like gun control, changing or abolishing the Electoral College, adding anything in there about abortion, It keeps anything out of this amendment besides the simple fact of reforming Congress. That is the goal of this amendment, was to reform Congress and to reform the problem that we currently find ourselves in, where we are beset by federal overreach. So what does it actually do? It requires Congress to submit a complete budget every single year and to submit it on time. If they don't submit it on time, the nation automatically goes into a continuing resolution budget. This is not anything new. This is something that we've basically been doing on and off for the past 50 years. And then when we go into that continuing resolution budget, Congress loses its salary until they complete the budget. So now they're the ones who are being affected by their inability to do their jobs. And you better believe that when their money is on the line, Congress suddenly finds the will to act and to act properly. So the states are then also going to have the right to veto the budget if 3/5 of the states oppose it. So if that happens 2 years in a row, then that would mean that every single member serving in Congress in the last 24 months is then banned from holding any federal office after their term expires. That means that they would be done in politics. If they're not successful in politics, they would not be rewarded by being able to get a different position in another area of elected government in the federal level. So this provision would then force Congress to work together with the people they represent and with the state legislatures, rather than simply working directly in their offices, getting handies from lobbyists back in D.C. Congress, if they fail to do their job, they would essentially fire themselves, and they're going to not want that to happen. So this is the other part, is that the budget can no longer be political. No law in the budget would be allowed. It would only be the budget. So all those omnibus bills they pass every year where they include this and that and all this pork and all these other things along with it just because they can, no longer would they be able to do that. Social Security and entitlements would also finally be protected from congressional raids of trust funds. And Congress is also forever banned from exempting itself from any law. That means that they would be subject to the exact same laws, rules, and statutes that we are subjected to out here in the real world. All laws must also be submitted to the states through a non-budget process. That means that people of the states would ultimately have the final say on the laws that Congress is even able to pass. So each one of our states would become a much needed additional check and balance on the mess that's been created in Washington, D.C. by Congress. And Congress would then have to continue to do this back and forth, this checks and balance, if they want to defend the very nature of their jobs and what happens in America. The only reason they're there is to continue to have limits on power. And furthermore, very importantly, the 28th Amendment would ban all out-of-state money for campaigns. My friends, that would significantly reduce the type of money and the amount of money and the dark money that people running for Congress would be able to collect. It would significantly reduce the size and scope of elections and force them to do their jobs in the way that they were always meant to do. So the 28th Amendment would also require the federal government to obtain permission of a state for new immigration. Both blue and red states are currently overwhelmed by federal policies that are harming their citizens, harming their cities, overburdening their systems and their services, and negatively impacting the environment. So they have to ask first before they pass new regulations. It's also going to consider the 28th Amendment package in 2025 January sessions. That means in January of this upcoming year, every state in the country is going to be having this on their desks, and it's likely going to schedule a meeting of the states to occur in late 2025 as well. You can actually go check out a final draft and a summary of this 28th Amendment by heading to the website task28.com. I'm going to pull it up here on screen, and I'm going to give you the address here in the chats as well. So
This domain, they haven't actually set it up yet, apparently. Well, task28.com is going to be the website. Now, I guess maybe it was set up before and maybe it got taken down. I'm not certain. All right. But I think that this sounds like a wonderful compromise. And I think that it also addresses a lot of the overreach that I'm constantly talking about, suggesting that the states need to take control of their sovereignty and take that power back from the federal level. This is going to be a legitimate possibility that could be coming up next year. And so I hope that you guys are continue to follow this after today, because I know I will continue to follow it and tell you about it as well. All right, guys, we're going to end with the story of the Boeing whistleblowers. After the deaths of two very important Boeing whistleblowers in less than 2 months, as a result of those men's deaths occurring in a highly suspicious manner, we now have 10 brand new whistleblowers who have stepped forward. Boeing is facing a growing number of whistleblowers, and they're all concerned about the safety of their factories and the people of the United States flying on Boeing equipment. And after the deaths of these two whistleblowers, they felt compelled to come forward. I think that this is definitely not what Boeing foresaw, if they were the ones who were responsible for the suiciding and the rapid illnessing of those two whistleblowers. So this is going to put them in a serious disadvantage. We have a number of new whistleblowers that have come forward to testify before the Senate. We've got a couple of different people, quality sales engineer Sam Salenpour, Ed Pearson, the executive director of the Foundation for Aviation Safety, and a former Boeing engineer, Joe Jacobson, aerospace engineer, technical advisor to the Foundation of Aviation Safety, and former FAA engineer, along with Sean Prichnicki. He's a PhD, professional practice assistant professor for integrated systems engineering at Ohio State University. All of them testified before the Senate. Another one, the engineer Sam Salenpour, testified before Congress that he himself faced physical threats from his boss after he raised concerns about the structural issues that were taking place on the 787 Dreamliner. He said that debris was found in the unfilled gaps between airplane parts 80% of the time. He said, "I have analyzed Boeing's own data to conclude that the company is taking manufacturing shortcuts on the 787 program that may significantly reduce the airplane safety and the life cycle of the plane. Since 2013, there have been serious issues on the 787 program, not properly closing thousands of gaps in its assembly on the fuselage on major joints." And then Pearson, the Boeing engineer and former senior manager, alleged that there was a criminal cover-up at the company, claiming that records related to a door blowout incident on the 737 MAX did not exist. Well, this is contrary to Boeing claims, who said they don't exist, but he says records do in fact exist. "I know this because I personally passed them to the FBI. For the last couple of months, there's been talk that there's no records, and that obviously is not the case. It has been available for months." So now with these 10 new whistleblowers coming forward with the same types of concerns and personal experience with safety and lack of care in the building of these airplanes, Boeing is in a much different position than they were after the deaths of these two whistleblowers. The same lawyers who represented the whistleblowers that I've spoken about before are also representing these whistleblowers. Now, they're also asking for investigations into the deaths of the two. They've stated explicitly that the first whistleblower's death is highly suspicious. He was not suicidal. And that the death of Josh Dean, the newest whistleblower, his death does not make any sense either. Now, on top of that, with all of these whistleblowers, the FAA has opened a brand new probe into Boeing for potentially falsifying records and the inspections of the 787. So the FAA says that Boeing notified them in April that it may not have completed required inspection related to electrical safeguards of bonding and grounding where the wings and the fuselage meet on certain aircraft. Now, according to the agency, Boeing is going to reinspect all of their 787 airplanes currently in production, and they must create a plan to address the in-service fleet. Now, as a result, Boeing shares took a big hit
on the news of this coming forward. As a result, they are now finding themselves under renewed scrutiny for a problem that I think is now just far too big to ignore. And with the presence of these additional whistleblowers coming forward, the story is not going anywhere. They're not going to be able to kill 10 more whistleblowers. And if you have one more whistleblower that dies under mysterious circumstances, believe me, there is going to be an outroar. I just don't think it's possible for them to do it. I think that they've overplayed their hand. And as a result, because they've pissed off the people who work for them, who know that, hey, my life was threatened by Boeing. If I don't come forward now, I run the risk of just being silenced. They want to avenge the deaths of Barnett and Dean. They want the sacrifice of these men to not be in vain. And they also want to make sure that more Americans do not have their lives put in danger because Boeing is greedy. Speaking of greedy, the CEO of Boeing, he got a raise last year. Like his net payout was increased by like a third or something like that. And it was like $32 million or maybe it was $320 million. I don't quite remember. That's right. I'm sorry, he got a 45% pay hike up to $32.8 million for 2023. And this is while all these problems are going on. And the Boeing executives were being warned about the shoddy production that was going on at these facilities. And yet they ignored it. They knew these whistleblowers were talking to lawyers. They knew there was going to be this lawsuit. And now they're basically screwed. So Boeing, if you want to remain an American company, if you want to continue to make $32.8 million a year for your CEO, I encourage you to start doing the right thing and to take these whistleblowing claims seriously. I don't have a lot of faith in the FAA, but I think that this is a situation that simply cannot be ignored at this point. Let me just say thank you very much to FilterDog1. He said, what about the poll worker from Wisconsin that was fired for faking 64,000 ballots? I don't have anything on it right now. I don't know how that was dispensed. Sean Joe, thank you for the cookie. Thank you for another cookie. Thank you to Porpoiseful as well. Thank you to Left MD. Filter Dog, thank you for another cookie. And then he says 5K. And then Filter Dog dropped a can. And, Ina says, thank you, America. Pray for America. So thank you for that, guys. I really do appreciate it. We're going to go ahead and cut it there. I'm losing my voice now, and I've definitely got baseless conspiracies tonight at 10:30 p.m. over there on Badlands Media. Join me if you care. If you don't, then I'll be back tomorrow at 5 p.m. for another episode of Red Pill News Live. I'm going to pass out these gold pills on Pilled. Let me just, before I go, remind everyone about the final sponsors of the program. First of all, don't forget about my friends at Rife Technology. You have to use the link in the description of this video. Click that link. Head on over to Rife. Use my code. You'll get a special discount. And the Rife machines that the people in the audience have purchased, they have had some incredible results. Very, very promising. This is coming from the living descendants of Royal Rife, Matthew Rife. I've had him on the show a number of times. Matthew is awesome. I'm going to have him again in the future. And maybe they've got something for hoarse voice. I'll go ahead and check that out after the show. If you hear me on Baseless Conspiracies tonight and my voice is totally healed, you'll know that's why. So definitely head on over there because people in the audience have used these and they have begun to heal themselves in some really powerful ways. And quite literally, every single malady for the human body that you can find, you're going to find a set of frequencies that this machine can deliver. There are also a variety of different types for every budget. And obviously, the bigger they get, the more powerful they get, and the more space that they can cover. So check them out. Use my code in the description of the video. Use that link, and that way they will know that I sent you over there, and Matthew will want to come back on the show. Let me also say thank you to OnenessDrops.com, where you can pick up your chlorine dioxide water purification kits. Chlorine dioxide is antimicrobial, antibacterial, it also will clean nasty drinking water that is not safe for you to drink otherwise. Make it potable. You want chlorine dioxide in your medicine cabinet, in your go bag. You want it in your car. You never know where you're going to be, where you might need to make clean water. I give chlorine dioxide to my dogs because it cleans and freshens their breath. It kills the bacteria that causes bad breath in their mouths. And also, in the same way that chlorine dioxide is good for humans, it's also going to be good for your pets as well. You can find all kinds of information about chlorine dioxide online. And you can find people in the audience who use it on a daily basis. So go to onenessdrops.com, use code RP78, and save 15% off your order. Don't forget about MyPillow.com, Mike Lindell, and all of his American-made products, where he is essentially financing the effort to keep American elections in secure and bring back integrity. When you use code RP78, you'll get up to 80% off of every single one of Mike's amazing products. They have pillows and sheets and mattresses and bathrobes and slippers, whatever you want, you can get there. So head on over to MyPillow.com, use my code RP78, and save big. And then finally, prepare with RedPill78.com. My friends at My Patriot Supply, you can save $50 off a 4-week supply of emergency food. If you don't have emergency food on hand, then if something goes wrong with the supply chain, you're going to be between a rock and a hard place. Even if you're a hunter, just having emergency food on hand means that you don't have to stress about having food immediately, because it'll always be there. Use the link in the description and you will save that discount automatically. Prepare with RedPill78.com, My Patriot Supply. Thank you so much to all of the sponsors for supporting this program. Thank you for being here with me. Thank you for everything. And I hope I see you tonight, or I'll see you tomorrow at 5 p.m. Good luck and God bless.
Yeah.